there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. If you listen to True News on WWCR International Shortwave Radio, we will be on two different frequencies starting Monday, March 10. The new frequencies will be 6875 and 9350. Again, 6875 and 9350. This is for our broadcast at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, 4 Mountain, 3 Pacific. In recent weeks, North Korea has issued several very belligerent warnings against the USA. One video shows an ICBM traveling around the planet and striking what appears to be New York City. Another video shows American troops on fire. North Korea has issued what it says is the final warning. It vowed to turn Seoul, South Korea, and Washington, D.C. into seas of fire through a precise nuclear strike. Rodong Sinmun, the official mouthpiece of the Communist Party, quoted Brigadier General Jung Yong-il as saying, quote, "The U.S. and warlike puppet groups should be aware of their destructive ending. If the U.S. imperialists wield their weapons, we will turn not only Seoul but also Washington into seas of fire with our own measures for a precise nuclear strike," end of quote. The North Korean newspaper said, quote, "It would be no surprise if a global thermonuclear war breaks out," end of quote. Now, in response, South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff threatened to take out North Korea's military command and troops. The South Korean army raised its alert level as a result of the threats. South Korean Major General Kim Young-yun, the head of the operations of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said, quote, "If North Korea pushes ahead with provocations that would threaten the lives and safety of our citizens, our military will strongly and sternly punish the provocation's starting point, its supporting forces and command." A South Korean military source told news reporters in Seoul that his country's military will target the top levels of North Korea's political and military regime leaders, in addition to taking out divisional or corps commanders. North Korea posted a new video on its YouTube channel. The video footage shows missiles, armed soldiers, tanks, and military parades. And then further complicating the matter, the UN Security Council voted on Thursday to punish North Korea for last month's nuclear test. When I recorded yesterday's program, I was not aware that North Korea had made this latest threat. Yesterday's program included Chris Steinle and David Langford and me discussing the fallacies of the secret pre-tribulation rapture doctrine that has lulled tens of millions of American Christians into a false sense of security. I think it's interesting that we unknowingly scheduled that discussion on the same day North Korea said it was issuing its final warning to America before nuking Washington, D.C. Now, there's a reason I'm so adamant about waking up the American Christians from their spiritual sleep. They are living in la-la land, a false sense of security. The overwhelming majority of pastors and church members are not taking these threats seriously. I've been warning since 1998 that North Korea will take out an American city in a surprise nuclear attack. And I will not stop the warning. The hedge of protection around this nation has crumbled. The divine dome above us is breached. We have sinned against God and have arrogantly ordered him out of our nation's affairs, and we will pay a terrible price for our sins and pride and rebellion. Those of you who steadfastly cling to the secret pre-tribulation rapture doctrine are not preparing the people for the difficult days that are coming, and you will have blood on your hands for not telling them the truth. When you wake up one night by the wailing air raid sirens in your city and turn on the TV news and hear that Los Angeles or Seattle or Washington, D.C. was nuked and millions of people are dead, will you call John Hagee and Hal Lindsey and Tim LaHaye and ask them why they assured you that the church will be raptured away before the time of tribulation begins? Well, let me tell you something. You won't be able to even find those guys because they will be long gone and hiding in the bunkers they built and stocked with food with the millions of dollars they made over the years selling their pre-tribulation rapture books and videos to you. And I could name right now, I could name one prominent Bible prophecy teacher who taught the pre-tribulation rapture story for decades, who quietly moved out of the USA and is now living on a farm on another continent. Why? Because he doesn't really believe the stuff he's preached for years. He sees the handwriting on the wall for America, and he boogied out to his hidey hole in another country. But he's still telling you not to worry because the church will be taken away in the secret pre-tribulation rapture. Listen, I love him as a brother, but he needs to come clean and admit he's scared the USA will be nuked and that's why he moved to another country. Stop preaching this line when you don't believe it. I posted an article on TrueNews.com about the violent El Salvador street gang, MS-13. They've gotten their hands on rocket-propelled grenade launchers, light anti-tank weapons, and AK-47s. MS-13 has also linked up with Mexico's drug cartel, the Zetas. So why do you think that Barry Sotoro, that communist who goes by the name Barack Obama, and his sidekick, Eric Holder, were shipping thousands of weapons to Mexico in the Operation Fast and Furious scandal? I've said all along it was about arming revolutionary gangs in Mexico to wage war in Texas and Arizona when the full communist revolution gets underway. Why do you think Homeland Security is stockpiling billions of rounds of hollow point ammo? It's not to protect you and me. They're setting up ammo depots for Obama's commie army. And when the attack starts, the biggest shock to the American people will not be the bombs and the foreign troops on the ground. The biggest shock will be the realization that we were sold out by our own leaders in Washington. Now, this next article is a perfect example of why America won't get any help from heaven when her enemies surround the nation and start shooting. In Longview, Washington, Mayor Don Jensen has informed local pastors who open the city council meetings with prayer that they may not pray in the name of Jesus anymore. The mayor said he took the action on the advice of the city attorney. Well, Mr. Mayor, get another attorney. I think I drove through Longview years ago when my son Jeremy and I drove down from Seattle to Mount St. Helens and then down to Bend, Oregon. Longview is downwind from Seattle. And Mayor Jensen, if Seattle gets nuked by North Korea in the coming weeks or months, I hope you call on the name of Jesus when the radiation cloud drifts over the Cascade Mountains towards you, because Jesus is the only name that will be able to save you. And you won't need the city attorney's permission to cry out, "Jesus, Jesus, save us." 2 weeks ago, New York Jets quarterback Tim Tebow weaseled out of speaking at First Baptist Church of Dallas because Pastor Bob Jeffers is an outspoken opponent of same-sex marriage. And I was really disappointed in Mr. Tebow for cowering in the heat of adversity blown by the enemies of the cross. His next opportunity to get it right comes in 2 weeks when he is scheduled to speak at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. Well, the gay rights movement leaders and the left-wing socialist news media are now pressuring Tim Tebow to bow out of that speaking engagement, too. Lefty news website Huffington Post said Liberty is, quote, a notoriously conservative private college with an anti-gay reputation, end of quote. And the anti-Christian People for the American Way, their affiliate, Faithful America, really should be called the Unfaithful America, said that Liberty is, quote, ground zero for a global assault on the legal rights of gays, lesbians, a symbol of everything that's wrong with the religious right, end of quote. All I can say is that if Tim Tebow chickens out again, his credibility as a spokesman for Christianity in America is over. He'll have to speak at Joe Osteen's church to be politically correct. And let me remind the gay rights fanatics, North Korea plans to send a nuclear warhead our way. There's a terrible price to pay for outright rebellion against the holy God of Israel. And your sins are going to get us all killed. Swedish technology company Behaviosec has invented an alternative to the password. The company wants to identify people by their biometric fingerprint. The company said its machine learning algorithm builds up a unique profile and a biometric score and compares it every time a device is used. If you fail the biometric score, you need to provide more authentication. Japanese technology company Fujitsu announced that it has installed the Palm Entry Physical Access Control System at Blue Vault in San Diego, California. Blue Vault provides maximum security storage units for valuable items. If you are a customer, you must now wave your palm over a scanner. Well, again, I'm going to go back to the pre-trib issue. I've got some questions for all the people who emailed me last night and today to tell me why there will be a secret pre-trib rapture of the church. I want to know where and when you will draw the line in the sand. Will you consent to being biometrically scanned in order to use your bank card? Will you consent to being biometrically scanned if your employer introduces a biometric time clock for all employees or a biometric access system to open doors? What about all the Christians with children in schools that are requiring biometric scanning to buy lunch or to record school attendance? Why are you not objecting? Because some self-appointed prophecy expert told you this isn't the mark of the beast because the church will be raptured away before the mark of the beast appears. And what about Disney World and Disneyland and all the other amusement parks that now require biometric scanning to enter the park? Have you already done it? Would you teach your children and grandchildren that it's okay to be scanned because we're going to have fun at Disney World? Will you submit to a biometric scan to board an airplane? And what if traveling by air is an important part of your job? Will you do it? Or will you quit your job if you have to be scanned biometrically? Will you submit to the biometric ID card scheme that is secretly being planned in the U.S. Senate right now by Senators Graham and McCain and Schumer? When and where will you draw the line in the sand and say no more? How many times will you compromise? Well, my fear is if you believe in the secret pre-trib rapture, you will compromise all the way until they implant a microchip in your skin. And if you do that, you're going to burn in the lake of fire, because that's what the Bible says. The chief of Venezuela's presidential guard told reporters the last words of Hugo Chavez, He said, I don't want to die. Now, I don't know the spiritual state of Hugo Chavez before he died, and so I don't want to comment on his eternal destiny. What I do know is that the Bible says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I can sympathize with Hugo Chavez in his lament that he didn't want to die and leave this world. But each of us will face that moment. What is important is that you are spiritually prepared for it. And the only way to be prepared is to be reconciled with your Creator, Almighty God, so that on the day of judgment, you will be resurrected to eternal life through Jesus Christ. All of us were born of flesh into sin. We must be born again of spirit to be set free from our sin nature. The resurrected Jesus Christ, the only one who has ever overcome death and the grave, must live inside you. That's what it means to be born again. And it's simple. You simply tell God, your Father, that you have broken His commandments and deserve punishment, but you accept the free offer of forgiveness and salvation by believing on the name of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. You turn from sin, you renounce the devil, and you follow Jesus as His disciple. Then you find somebody and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your King and Savior. And then find a Bible-believing church and ask the pastor to baptize you in water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Senator Rand Paul ended his filibuster against the nomination of John Brennan to be the next CIA director. He spoke on the Senate floor for 13 hours. He forced Attorney General Holder to retract his statement that Mr. Obama has legal authority to kill American citizens on U.S. soil with predator drones. Mr. Holder now says Mr. Obama could only do it in a time of war. I wonder if that includes civil war started by Barack Obama. Senator Paul's brave filibuster earned him the scorn and ridicule of fellow Republicans John McCain and Lindsey Graham. Senator Graham said asking Mr. Holder whether Mr. Obama can kill citizens with drones was a ridiculous question that does not deserve an answer. Senator McCain told Senator Paul to calm down. But I would say, don't forget that Senators McCain and Graham were the authors of the amendment to the Defense Authorization Act, empowering Mr. Obama to use U.S. troops to arrest American citizens in their homes, hold them indefinitely without criminal charges, a trial, or a defense attorney. Those two senators, along with Charles Schumer, are secretly writing the immigration bill to require you to carry a biometric card. Mr. Graham and Mr. McCain are stooges of the regime.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast.
The consequences of rebellion may not always be obvious or immediate, but God will not be mocked by individuals or nations. Here's A Moment with Charles Stanley.
The laws of God are not suggestions. And the wonderful laws of God about His grace and love and mercy and protection and watch care and provision, they're not suggestions that God gives. These are the laws of God, the promises of God. The promises of God for good and the promises of God that concern evil. They're the laws of God. And we are watching it happen in our very nation. We know why we are where we are. We decided, not us particularly, but we decided, take that Bible business out of the schools. Get that prayer business out of the schools. Don't talk about God. Take the crosses down. Besides that, go ahead and live any kind of an immoral life you want to live. And besides that, let's just decide you can have any kind of marriage you want. Forget God's law about marriage. And now, people want to undress and walk around naked. Do you know what that is? It's not a desire not to wear clothes. It is a desire to rebel against every single thing that is good and decent and holy. God put clothes on Adam and Eve because He intended for them to wear them. Do you think God is going to ignore that? No, He's not. We are where we are in this nation because we have made and allowed decisions to be made. Each one of the ones I just told you is an act of rebellion against Almighty God and His Word. There are consequences to rebellion against God. And somebody says, well, we don't even believe there is a God. I'm telling you, it doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. Rebellion against God brings consequences that are inevitable and inescapable in the life of individuals as well as the life of a nation.
To learn more about trusting Christ as your Savior from the penalty of sin, go to the middle of our homepage at intouch.org and click on the links under All Things Are New.
You're listening to True News, the other news network. I open today's program with the latest threat from North Korea that they are prepared to nuke Washington, D.C. I have followed the North Koreans for 15 years, and I've got to say that in the past month, their threats have gone from being comical to being frightening. Retired U.S. Army Major General Paul Vallely is on the telephone. He served as Deputy Commanding General of the Pacific Command. Along with General McInerney, he co-authored the book Endgame, the Blueprint for Victory in the War on Terror. He is the founder of Stand Up America. The website is standupamericaus.org. General Vallely, welcome back to True News. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm fine. I'm out here in Montana. It's a little chilly today, but we're going to get through it.
Yes, you will. What's the temperature today?
Oh, it's only about 26. Not too bad.
That's a warm spell there from Montana, right? General, yeah. Let me ask you, you were a Deputy Commanding General, U.S. Army Pacific Command. These threats coming from North Korea, I mean, this has been going on for years, as long as I've been on the radio, and I've watched these guys over the years. But lately, it seems to me that the tone of their threats is becoming far more serious. What do you think?
Well, I think they have. They see America now in a very weakened position with our leadership with no real strategy. But, you know, since 1953, since the ceasefire in Korea, North Korea has always been a threat, mostly to South Korea. And, of course, we still have, I guess about 30,000 troops there with aircraft. We've got the Pacific Fleet out there with the Aegis system, which is a anti-missile capability. But I think North Korea now is trying to be belligerent, as they always have been, threaten the United States. They're working very closely with Iran and their nuclear program, missile launch systems. Their people are starving, but they're putting their money, just like Iran, in this to a lot of military capability. And, of course, with the recent launch that they have, they say that now perhaps they can reach the west coast of the United States. But when you look at the Iranians, at Russia supporting the Iranians, China supporting their proxy, North Korea, this is all about weakening the United States and U.S. power.
That's right.
We're not standing up to that today.
The North Koreans, obviously very closely tied to the Iranians. A number of reports several weeks ago when the North Koreans tested a nuclear device. So those reports said that there was a large contingent of Iranian scientists present at the test site. Do you think that perhaps the North Koreans are watching the preparation for an attack on Iran, and that they anticipate that they're going to get whacked also?
Well, I don't think it's that as much as they want to continue to be belligerent against the South Koreans. Any attack probably would be to South Korea, but South Korea is very strong. They have a very good armed force, and they're aware of any movements going on in North Korea. And, of course, our Pacific Fleet, as I said out there, we have assets in Japan. The Japanese are watching the North Koreans very closely. And then, of course, we have forces in Okinawa, just south of Japan. So we do have a capability out there to watch everything they do every day with satellites and other intelligence gathering equipment that we have. So hopefully we're going to be a little more alert than we were in Benghazi and some other places. But this administration is so weak when it comes to national security, and it's sort of disgusting to me that we put such lightweights in as Senator Hagel as Secretary of Defense and John Kerry as Secretary of State, because they're all appeasers. And I think you're going to continue to see American power go down as the rest of the world, Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, sort of flex their muscles. But it's a dangerous period. There's no doubt about it.
It's very, very dangerous right now. And, you know, I've always noticed the South Korean government has always been very restrained in their response to the North Korean threats. But yesterday, it was a completely different response from the South Koreans. They actually said, if you provoke us, we are prepared to take out your military command structure.
Mm-hmm.
So General, it seems to me like the South Koreans have elevated it up. They seem to be much more concerned right now that perhaps North Korea really is going to do something crazy.
Well, I still think they're more talk than action. That way they get aid, humanitarian assistance. They get a lot of things by these threats. They've obviously escalated their dialogue. But hopefully our intelligence will start improving again, because it's been really decimated. But I'm very confident in the Pacific Command and the Pacific Fleet. I'm very confident about the South Koreans and the Japanese. We always leave them out of the equation. But the Japanese have a very strong military presence now, particularly in those seas that surround Korea.
All right, let's talk about what's happening with China and Japan. There is a very heated dispute over a chain of islands. Japan is claiming ownership. China is claiming ownership. And China has said, quite frankly, they're prepared to go to war over these islands.
Well, they have. And again, they're prepared to go to war over Taiwan. You've got a problem with the islands north of Japan with the Russians. So it's a very tense situation over there from time to time. But I think the Chinese, for their part, as they strengthen their armies, they're very dependent on a lot of different things. The North Koreans are the most belligerent. And mm-hmm. so if there's any crazy decisions that are made by the young premier over there, it could be quite devastating. But we have to keep in mind, we're watching them very closely. We do have capability, anti-missile capability, right off the South Korean coast. And the South Koreans also have a capability. So it's not that they're the dominant force there. As I say, the South Koreans have a better armed forces than the North Koreans do. In part, better equipment.
Yeah, and then we also had the case several weeks ago of the Russian strategic nuclear bombers buzzing around Guam.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're out and about. They come out of Vladivostok in that area. You notice they're all getting much more active. The Iranians, the Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans, and it's a balance of power. It's like a teeter-totter. As we go down in power, they increase in power. And, of course, we have the Obama administration, which continues to weaken our national security and national defense. So we've got a big problem internally in this country that's got to be solved. And that's why we've got to have new leadership in Washington. We need new, stronger congressmen, stronger senators, people that will stand up for the American people. And I'm not confident that we have that leadership now at all.
No, we don't. And I'm not even I'm not happy with the ones in Washington who call themselves conservatives. I saw today that Senator Paul of Kentucky was chastised by John McCain and Lindsey Graham.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, Lindsey Graham's a lapdog of Senator McCain, and McCain's all over the place. You know, those two need to go. For sure, but there's very few strong Republicans. Ted Cruz is very good, though, out of Texas. Rand Paul is good. Got Rubio will stand up a lot of the times.
John Inhofe of Oklahoma.
Once in a while, he gets a little flaky, but he sometimes will stand up as well too. But we just have weak leadership across the board in Washington.
Yeah, you got to remember, General Senator Inhofe's the propeller came off his private plane one day. You remember that? Remember that incident?
I don't remember that one. No,
oh yeah, yeah. He that was back during the days of Clinton, and he was saying a lot of things about the Chinese having access to the White House, and then he was flying his plane one day, and the propeller came off. So that may have affected him somewhat. You know, I don't know.
Well, may have. They're all affected to a great degree, in my opinion.
I agree. Oh. I agree. What are your thoughts about Attorney General Holder stating to Senator Paul that he believes the President of the United States has the authority to use Predator drones to assassinate American citizens on U.S. soil?
Well, I think Ted Cruz from Texas nailed Holder down yesterday, and he wouldn't let up until Holder said, no, we're not going to do that. But you know, in their own minds, they're forming their own, even within Homeland Security, and the amount of ammunition that's being bought, a number of vehicles that Obama does intend to have his own force. And hopefully the military people will finally stand up, including the generals and admirals, and support the Constitution and the American people, which the oath is to.
Yeah, but the generals are being removed one by one.
Oh, yeah, and they're not standing up. They're folding right into the Obama camp, many of them.
Everybody
don't follow, they're being replaced. Yeah.
I mean, the whole establishment, right, left, conservative, everybody's in line since the election.
They got their list, and they're going down their list. There's no doubt about it.
I saw the other day the president of, or the chairman, I don't know his title, of the American Conservative Union, which is supposed to be the most conservative political group in the nation, endorsed amnesty for illegal immigrants. And I'm like, if that's the conservative position.
No, it's not. They're all being bought off and corrupted. I hate to sound so negative today, but we got great problems in America. We've got to solve them. And General Jerry Boykin's out here with me this week, and we're working on some issues. So American people should know there are people awakening, and we are going to overcome this situation in America.
Is there anything that you can talk about, future plans of Stand Up America U.S.?
Well, we're coming out with our second report on Benghazi, and I'm working with Charles Woods, father of Ty Woods, whose son was killed in Benghazi. He's getting the runaround by the government. Also, Billy Vaughn, whose son went down in the CH-47 about a year and a half ago when the SEAL Team 6 guys were killed along with 30 others. So we're working the cover-up deception thing at Stand Up America now. And if you go to the Stand Up American site, you can see some of the things that we're developing.
General, my last question is a loaded question for you. Put you on the spot. But do you think that there is literally a takeover underway of the Constitutional Republic?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. They're avoiding it. And we've got a lot of groups now that are standing up. And, you know, as many of us said, there could, in fact, be a second American Revolution in this country. And when we look at economic failure, it could happen out there at any time. International markets, devastating attack on America, that in fact finding a lot of retired military veterans, patriots now are starting to take this serious. We got a lot of people waking up right now, but I hope it's not too late. I hope we don't have a revolution, but the American people aren't going to stand for these attacks on the Second Amendment, First Amendment, and basically rights and values of America. So that would be my message today.
All right. Retired General Paul Valley. The organization Stand Up America and the website standupamericaus.org. General, thank you. Appreciate you being on True News.
Well, my pleasure. Be happy to do it again.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is True News.
This is Max McLean. What are the benefits of knowing God's Word? Listen to the Bible from Psalm 119. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I recounted my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts, then I will meditate on your wonders. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, O Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. From Psalm 119. Listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
Hear more at radiobible.org.
Well, you're listening to True News, your Christian alternative source for global news, analysis, and commentary. I'm Rick Wiles. A reminder to everybody who listens to True News on WWCR International Shortwave Radio, the frequencies change on Monday, starting March 10. True News will be heard on frequency 6875 and 9350. That's for the 6 p.m. Eastern broadcast, 5 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Mountain, and 3 p.m. Pacific. Again, the new frequencies for WWCR starting on Monday, 6875 and 9350. Well, we're going to talk numbers today. Actually, only one number. You know, numbers are an integral part of our daily life. We use numbers throughout each day. And depending on your career, numbers may be the most important component of what you do for a living. Pastor Mike Hogard has been researching one number in particular, number 7, and he has found it woven throughout the Bible. He is the pastor of Bethel Church in Festus, Missouri. He's also the host of the Watchman video broadcast, available at the website watchmanvideobroadcast.com. Pastor Mike Hogard, welcome back to True News.
It's good to be with you again today. God bless you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, listen, if we're going to talk numbers, I got to be honest with you. I'm not good at math.
Me neither.
I did not do well in math in school. And, in fact, the only way I passed, was the, you know, the math teacher, honestly, I think just felt sorry for me and got me through the class, you know. It progressed into advanced mathematics, and to me, anytime you're using alphabet letters in math, that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, like, why are we using letters to do?
Why don't we just let the numbers be the numbers?
Yeah, I mean, I don't write sentences using numbers. I don't put numbers in words. You know, so
right.
Anyhow, I'm going to have to defer to you if we're going to be talking about numbers. You've honed in on one number, the number 7. What got your interest about number 7?
Well, this study God sort of laid on my heart many, many years ago. I remember, you know, being in Bible college, things like that. I didn't want to study numbers in the Bible because I thought it was occult related, numerology and whatnot, and witchcraft. And so I stayed away from it, but I really felt God leading me to study the numbers in the scripture, just the plain numbers. And you brought up the number 7. If I was going to ask anybody, what number do you think is most prominent in the scriptures? Almost invariably, they would say the number 7. It's the one that just seems to stick out the most in our minds. And so the thing is, you and I both agree that we're not mathematicians. We don't sit and write formulas out. If I'm going to do some adding or multiplying, I'm going to use a calculator before I'll do anything else. And this is just one of the things that I like to do, is just show the simplicity that is in Christ. There's nothing that, if we just really think about it, there's nothing really complicated about the doctrines that we believe, the doctrine of salvation. Children can believe the doctrine of salvation. They may not understand it totally, but they can believe it. And so what I like to do is I just like to show just very plainly from the text of the Bible that people are going to read, that these numbers are important. God uses them. It's sort of his pattern. It's his signature and everything. Well, God is a consistent God, and God is a God of order. So he will use these numbers, and we can understand that from him.
And he is the master mathematician. I mean, the whole universe, everything is structured around numbers and mathematics. His mind is so, it is so deep. I can't, you know, I mean, we can't even fathom the knowledge and the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. and all the objects in the universe and how they are mathematically perfect, and their orbits, and everything is taking place, and then the cells of our body, everything, mathematics is involved in everything he created. And it just boggles my mind when I think about how intelligent our Father is. It's beyond anything our human mind can grasp. And so to talk about numbers in God, that is an integral part of his creation of the universe.
Well, it is, and numbers really display the character and the wisdom of God, because numbers are infinite, and so God's knowledge, God's depth, God himself is infinite. Numbers never end. God never ends. Numbers, if you go into negative numbers, they never had a beginning that way. It's sort of like Christ always was, is, and always will be. Numbers are constant. Mathematical things are constant. 2 + 2 = 4 in China, just like it is in America. And if you go to Mars, 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't matter where you go, what time of history you are, who you are. Numbers are constant and is reflective of a God who does not change. There will never, ever, ever be a time when 2 + 2 will equal anything but the number 4. And so this truly reflects the character and nature of God. And this is what I began to see when I started studying the numbers in the Bible. And the number that I think I've done the most work on, of course, is the number 7. And what I like to do with people is just show them from the scriptures that God uses this number, and that it means something. And rather than me trying to guess or trying to assume that this number means something, I just go to the text of the scripture. And really the first place that you find it in the book of Genesis, you're dealing with the creation, what we call the creation week, and a week is the number 7. There's always been 7 days in a week. There have been attempts in throughout history to change the number of days in a week to something like 10, to make it based on 10. But it's never held, it's never worked, and so throughout history, the week has always been related to the number 7. It's because God's order is in that number. And so he actually tells you in one particular verse the meaning of the number 7. And I'm looking at Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. There's an important word there, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended. There's another word there. Finished and ended on the seventh day his work which he had made. And he rested. Here's another word that relates to the number 7. It's the number for rest. On the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And then in verse 3, the Bible says, and God blessed the seventh day, so there's a blessing with the number 7, and he sanctified it. So we have the idea of finishing, we have the idea of completion, we have the idea of God's rest, we have the idea of God's blessing on the number 7, and the idea of his sanctification related to the number 7. And we take that word sanctify. The word sanctify comes to us from Latin, which sanctus, which literally means holy. If we look at the description given to us of the temple in heaven in Revelation chapter 4, we find that John saw 7 golden candlesticks, and they represent the 7 spirits of God. And so the Holy Spirit is related to the number 7, because God said that he sanctified the number 7. He sanctifies the seventh day. And that number 7 is related to God's sanctification and related to God's holiness. And so it's just a simple matter. If we will read the scriptures, then God will reveal to us what this particular number means.
Well, Pastor, if God blesses and sanctifies the seventh day, what does that mean to you?
Well, what it means to me is that I believe in, some people accuse me of not believing the law. I believe in the law and I love the law. And the fourth commandment tells us this. And this is where some people go wrong. The law actually prescribes that we are to rest on the seventh day. It doesn't say we have to go to church. It doesn't say we have to gather together. It just says we have to rest from our servile labor. That's how the King James Bible lays it out. So I believe that in following the way of God, the ways of God are also practical. Anybody who works 7 days a week nonstop eventually it's going to hurt them. We were not designed for that. Remember what Jesus said, that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And so what God was doing was God was showing his pattern in that he worked 6 days, he rested on the seventh. And I believe in a very practical application of this law that God gave us, because he always gives it to us for our benefit. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's for our benefit, for our blessing. Thou shalt not steal. That's for our benefit and blessing. And so when we honor God's way, and if we work on 6 days, we rest on the seventh day, God is going to use that to bless our work. It's blessing our mind. It's blessing our body, because our mind and our body do not have the ability to keep up with working a nonstop schedule. And so God gives us that for a blessing. But here's something that I see that's related to Bible prophecy, and that's really the core of when I teach on numbers. I like to show the Bible prophecy of these numbers. And so we know that the creation week was a pattern. It was a sign to the nation of Israel. We also know by way of New Testament doctrine that the real rest that God intended for the Sabbath day has not occurred yet. So let's apply some very simple principles. Peter said that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. David also said in the Psalms that 1,000 years are as yesterday in thy sight. So we have a formula in the Bible that a day equals 1,000 years. When this is where it gets really interesting. If we were to go back and look at the genealogy that's given in the Scriptures, and there's been several people that have done this, we find that where we are right now in history is roughly about 6,000 years from the day of creation. And so if we were to look at that the way the Bible says we can look at it, a day equals 1,000 years, we have gone through about 6 days in God's time frame. And what is it that we're waiting to see? We're waiting to see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible says that we will rule and reign with him for exactly 1,000 years. That is the Sabbath rest that God is going to bring to the earth. And we know from the Bible that there's going to be some wonderful things take place during this day, 1,000 years. There will be peace. They will beat their swords in the plowshares, which means people are going to be well fed. The earth is going to be given rest. It's going to be given rest from the deceiver, the devil, who is going to be thrown in the bottomless pit for that day or for that 1,000 years. And so God clearly is showing us his pattern, his order, not only in just the regular week that you and I go in, but he's showing us his pattern of prophecy, that God does it exactly this way. And I actually convinced a preterist that the preterist idea was at fault, because God was actually showing his pattern, and we're fixing to head into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, because it's been 6 days since the day of creation. So I believe it shows prophecy as well.
That's right. And in the early church, the first several hundred centuries, the predominant teaching among the church fathers was that there would be 6,000 years, and at the end of the 6,000 years, Jesus Christ would return, and then there would be the seventh day, 1,000 years of rest. That was the predominant teaching in the church.
Right.
If you read the writings of the early church fathers, they were telling the Christians 2,000 years ago, this whole thing we call reality is going to come to an end at 6,000 years. And so here we are now. We're, as you said, we're running up really close on the clock to 6,000 years.
I absolutely agree. And what you see in those early church writings is basically they're witnessing to the accuracy and the pinpoint precise accuracy of the Word of God, because it's the Word of God, the Bible, that lays all these things out. We're talking about the meaning of the number seven, things related to God. We already talked about the Holy Spirit, the seven spirits of God, and actually those seven spirits are enumerated for us in order in Isaiah chapter 11. One of the things that I'd like to teach people is that everything in the world operates on rhythms and patterns. Our heartbeat is a rhythm. Our every day that we have is a rhythm and a pattern. And one of the things I like to show people is that when they read the Bible, there's actually a rhythm and a pattern to it. I try to teach them to count things in the Bible. So the Bible mentions the seven spirits of God in Revelation 4, and when you go to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, you see that there's going to be a branch coming out of the root of David, and that there are seven things, there are seven spirits that are going to be upon this branch, and it's actually listing them, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. If you count those things, you'll find that there's seven of them there, which then tells you that this is the seven spirits of God. So I like to teach people to just count. If they see a list in the Bible, count it, and God will give them wisdom.
Amen. All right, what else have you learned about seven?
Here's something. Here's one of my favorite things to talk about when it comes to the number seven. The number seven being a number for perfection. If it's complete and it's perfected, then that relates to the number seven. And now here's what I do. I just count things in the Bible. In Psalm 12, the Bible says this in verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, to me, that's interesting because we now have the idea of sanctification, purification, and it's related to the number seven. Now, what I'm going to say now is a fact. And people can base any conclusion they want to make. They can come up with anything they want to. But here is it. Here is an absolute fact. Psalm 12 in our King James Bible, starting from Genesis, and if you count forward, Psalm 12 is the 490th chapter of the Bible. What that is 70 times 7. Now, we have an interesting formula here because that number or that calculation, 70 times 7, actually shows up in the scripture. It has to do with forgiveness of sins. And so because they asked Jesus, how oft shall I forgive my brother? Until seven times? Because the Jews recognized that the number seven was a number for completion. And so they felt like that if they forgive someone of something seven times, then that would be enough. And yet Jesus said, yea, rather, until 70 times seven, which is 490. Another gospel gives us the idea that that would be in one day. And so the Bible says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And so how many times would God forgive me in one day of sins that I've committed? Well, Jesus said until 70 times 7 or 490 times. I don't think I've ever spent a day where I could think that I could sin 490 times in one day. And so I know that I'm safe in the mercy and the rest of Almighty God, because he forgives our sins. Here's something else that's interesting. The name Jesus in the King James Bible, if you take out three references to, like one to Joshua, there's a reference to another Jesus, and then there was a Jesus whose surname was Justice given to us in the scripture. The name of Jesus is recorded in the King James Bible exactly 980 times. That turns out to be 70 times 7 times 2. And here's what I see in this. 70 times 7 is the forgiveness of sins. When Christ came the first time, he came to offer salvation and the forgiveness of sins to his brethren, to Israel. They rejected it. So he comes again, and at his second coming, Christ is going to fulfill the word that was spoken to the prophet Daniel. If you remember in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel was told that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people Israel. And if you look, there's a list there of seven things that God's going to do with Israel, and they all have to do with the forgiveness of sins. So at the second coming of Christ, Christ is going to fulfill his obligation to Israel in that he's going to render to her double for her sins. He is going to be the 70 times 7 forgiver of the sins of Israel. And so if you multiply 70 times 7 times 2 for the comings of Christ, you end up with the number 980, and that is the exact number of times that Jesus is referenced in the pages of the scripture. To me, that spells out that there is an order, there is an identifiable pattern to the scriptures. And God, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And so God authored the book, and that book is in absolute perfect order. The Bible, the name Jesus, 980 times. the name Jesus Christ in the King James Bible is mentioned exactly 196 times, which is 7 times 7 times 4. Jesus' title that he gave to himself of Son of Man is also mentioned 196 times, which is 7 times 7 times 2. And the word book, or the word books, because we know that there's a book on the right hand of God that's in the Father's right hand. We know that Jesus is on the right hand of God, and so the book and Jesus are the same. The word book, or books in the King James Bible, is mentioned 196 times, which is 7 times 7 times 4. And so we see the Word of God, we see Jesus, we see the Spirit of God, the God himself, all associated with patterns of seven recorded for us in the Scripture. And to me, I just marvel at the beauty and the design of the Word of God and these number patterns giving the structure of the Word of God.
He's an awesome God, a marvelous God beyond anything that we can comprehend.
Amen.
And we worship him and glorify him, and we'll never fully comprehend him, and maybe until we're face to face and we see him in all his glory, and we can just ponder what it's going to be like to be with Jesus Christ and to fully see and know and understand the God who created us and created this universe and sustains everything by his word. Pastor Mike Hogart, my guest today, Pastor Bethel Church, Festus, Missouri. You can watch his Watchman Video Broadcast online at watchmanvideobroadcast.com, and you've got this whole teaching on the number 7. It's there on the website, Watchman Video Broadcast. I think you've got about 7 parts. Let me right?
So far, I just recorded the 5th part of this teaching on the number 7, and I'll just throw something else in here very quickly. Mm-hmm. We mentioned the 7 spirits of God, and they're listed in Isaiah chapter 11. Some people would ask, okay, so what does that mean when the beast has 7 heads? He is the exact opposite of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the 7 heads of the beast relate to what's seen in the book of Proverbs. There are 7 abominations and things that God hates, and that's what the 7 heads of the beast represent. So I just finished recording the 5th part of this, the King James Code, the number 7, the sacred number, and they'll be able to watch the final part of this on our website next week.
Fantastic. WatchmanVideoBroadcast.com. Pastor Mike Hogart. Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate you being on True News today.
Thank you. God bless you.
Hey, I'm looking for some brave followers of Jesus Christ who are as wild and crazy as I am to support True News in 2013. We've embarked on a program for expansion this year. You'll see the first phase in a few weeks when we roll out the all-new TrueNews.com website. And designing and building a professional, polished, modern website is not quick or cheap. We've invested time and money. And the new website will grow in the months ahead as we develop original content for our supporters. That's why we're moving forward with plans to build an enlarged studio for this radio program and a studio for video production. Now, we need new partners to finance this work. Donate online at TrueNews.com or at PayPal using support@TrueNews.com. I'd like to start tomorrow morning by discovering that $100,000 was donated to True News. Now, there's enough of you listening right now to make that happen. And you also may send checks, money orders, precious metals, and foreign currencies to P.O. Box 690069, Vero Beach, Florida, 32969. Jesus is coming. Let's get busy and tell the world.